This is episode 16 of Gay Lunch Podcast. We would like to acknowledge that we're on Treaty 1 territory and thank Shoal Lake for our water.
Okay, and we're live. Welcome.
Hi.
Today we've got Cake.
Hi.
Welcome and back. And
Kitty Valentine.
Special guest Kitty Valentine.
I'm back, bitches.
All the way from Trenton, Ontario.
Trenton owns.
We've hologrammed her in just for the occasion.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So we've got Kitty, best friends with Cake. What's the dynamic here? Former lovers?
Never.
Current lovers.
No.
Shared a bed for about a month, but nothing happened.
You're my oldest friend. You're my my longest friend. We've known each other for like 10 plus years, knew each other when we were like 16, lived together a few times.
Sometimes better than others.
Sometimes better than others, you know, when a crazy bitch don't get in the way.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
So where are you from, Kitty?
That's a loaded question. Yeah. Because I'm from all over, but I'll say I'm from Winnipeg.
Yeah.
That's what I call home.
Born and raised?
See, now you're going to make me say all of it. Okay, so I'm going to give you the whole story. Yeah. And born in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, from that time to being 12 years old, lived in Leaf Rapids, Manitoba, then moved to Esterhazy, Saskatchewan, then went to Selkirk, Manitoba, back to Esterhazy, to Regina, back to Esterhazy, to Regina, back to Esterhazy, to Winnipeg, now to Trenton. God.
What?
Yeah, that's why I said, when you asked me that, I was like, I've been everywhere, man.
I regret everything. I've been everywhere, man. Where have you been?
And I would walk 500 miles. And I would walk 500
miles. Oh, goodness.
Ba-da-da. That's going to spike on the level.
Just
there.
Edit it out. Who cares? Yeah. You know what I notice? Like every time you say the words, edit it out, it is surefire that it will not be edited out.
Yeah. And if you didn't say it, we'd edit it out.
Because it's gold. We want to keep the gold.
We want to keep the shade, as
we
want to
keep
say.
The shade, yeah. Yeah. So coming from a small town.
Coming from a lot of small towns.
What was coming out like?
Difficult.
Yeah.
I took what I think that a lot of, like, maybe like queer people would say, and I came out as bisexual first.
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think now it's probably actually harder to come out as bisexual because of stigma, but two friends, and that went well. But I remember coming out to my mom did not go so well, and we're so much better now, but I was very depressed. I had got kicked out of school when I was 15. And I was fighting. This is getting deep, like, right away.
Yeah.
I was up at, like, 5 a.m. You know, I think depressed people tend to stay up in the evenings a lot and sleep during the day. And it was about 5 a.m., and my older brother came and got into a huge fight with me. Ended up throwing a cup at me, and it shattered on the wall. So she woke up and was yelling, and I think this was a lot of building up. And she kept asking what's wrong with me, and then I just told her. I said, I'm gay. And then she said, I wish you weren't, and left the room. And I think that's probably a regret of hers, but that was coming out, and that's actually why I ended up moving to Selkirk, because I felt like being in a small town, I was very trapped. And then...
Wait, smaller than Selkirk?
Oh, Esterhazy's a town. Oh, okay, Esterhazy's town. Yeah. They don't even have Walmart.
Yeah.
I used to love visiting you there, though. It was just like, that was my getaway place, because it was so small, there was nothing to do, I could just relax with my best friend. You came out after we had met, hey? Shortly after?
Really?
I think so.
Did you know, though? Like, did he tell you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, once I was out, like, when I moved to Selkirk, like, the first person I met, I looked right at her, I was like, I'm gay. Like, because I knew I wasn't going to hide that. That was at that point. And since then, like, I love being gay. Being gay is just fun.
I know so many people who say, like, if I could choose my sexuality, I wouldn't choose to be gay. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
I love being gay.
It's a time.
It's definitely like a hardship, but like the community that you get once you get one, it's like you kind of are all there for each other. And it's like, yeah, I will go 2 years without seeing you. If you ever come to me and you're like, I'm having a really bad time, I'll be like, what's your favorite pastry? I'll be there in half an hour to an hour and a half.
I think gay people get it. Yeah. Or queer. I shouldn't just say gay people. This is queer people. I think we get it because we, most of us anyway, have felt internal struggle. Mm-hmm. And so we look to each other for it. Because, like, I know in Trenton there's no community, not just for me, but, like, there's just no community. There's no community. I have neighbors, and I love them. They're great people. But I don't think they get it. They don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
It's like when you have a whole community that's, like, ostracized, has been ostracized or, like, feels... Oh, my God. It's like the Misfit Island. Mm-hmm. Like, all the misfit toys that were rejected were, like, in an island and loved. Like,
they Rudolph, just, like, the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Yeah. I didn't grow up with Christmas, so...
Oh, he's Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
You had a,
but you watched
you TV. Had a very, you had a, you, that's the thing, is, like, it's three white people. And someone with actually some cultural background.
Well, I like white culture. Wait, yeah.
You no, like, you like saltines?
I love,
which was probably
saltines.
The saltines were probably invented by someone of color because they contain salt.
I love sauerkraut.
Yeah.
I love lasagna.
Pierogies.
This is white culture. It's Ukrainian culture.
Yeah, explain that. I totally.
By the way, there's satire, everyone.
Yeah.
I totally get what you're saying about, like, we get it because the way I feel about it, like, being a queer or gay person, it's like one of those things. There's nothing in life worth having is not without its struggle.
Yeah.
And I think because we've all had that similar fight and struggle, it's just we have broken through to the place where all of these people who are worth knowing, we can know and we are instantly connected to them. I think that's the beautiful thing about it.
Yeah, even if you don't have anything in common with them, there's always that's always there.
Did you feel isolated? I mean, because how far apart were you guys when you were coming out? Because you said, I'd like to go visit.
We didn't drive, so unless we had bus money to travel on the Greyhound.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Well, we would visit back and forth for a few, like, every now and again. Like, predominantly during the summers. But there would be a free time every now and again where we'd find time to go visit each other. But we would talk on MSN almost every day.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to MSN.
Yeah.
Link on our website.
No, don't.
But you were, and I spoke about this on my episode, but, like, you were one of the very first openly gay people that I had met, and it was, you definitely had an impression on my life, and I came out a few years after that, after you had fully gone out, I came out a few years after that, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because, like, I sort of came out when I sort of began to have an idea of what I was.
Wait, I just want to make sure you are recording this.
This is being recorded, yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. Third time's a charm.
And no paid endorsements here.
We were meant to meet.
I love that.
I definitely agree that. Like,
soulmates.
So did y'all meet online?
No. Well, fine. This is another, like, convoluted story, so.
It's okay, we have nothing but time. We're only, like, 8 minutes in.
There's just, like, a chain of really good friends / best friends.
Yeah.
So I was really good friends. I'm still really good friends with a girl named Chelsea. And through Chelsea, I met Caitlin and Nicole. Through Caitlin and Nicole, I met Raina. And through Raina, I met Aaron.
I actually met him, I think it was, like, one of the last days of grade 10. We were, like...
This was the year I dropped out. This is... So that's why I was able to come when they weren't done school yet. Because I wasn't in school at this point.
Yeah.
It was, like, one of the last few days of grade 10. And I was getting to know Raina at that point.
Yeah, you guys were just new friends.
We were just new friends, and then I met you, and then it was, like, the three of us were, like, peas in a pod all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about having our own YouTube channel. Well, that has a YouTube
reel. Jar TV.
Jar TV.
Jeremy, Aaron, and Raina. Never happened.
We had some really good ideas.
Yeah, it was...
Which, looking back on them, were all very problematic.
Isn't it always how that goes?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, Facebook memories will always just remind you how problematic everything was.
I don't know about you guys. I was an angel.
You were not.
I know, literal dumpster queen.
So, after coming out, you left then, right? Like, you just...
So I came out, and obviously I wanted to finish high school, and I think I always wanted to not be an Esterhazy.
Yeah.
Because I had internet friends, and, like, I talked about moving to, like, Chilliwack, BC with one of my internet friends, and just anywhere. Like, I think...
You took that move from, like, four provinces.
No,
I never actually went to Chilliwack.
Oh, you didn't? Okay,
I talked about, I was just trying to find a way out. I didn't want to be there anymore. I was not happy. I mean, like, too, like, you're, like, 15, 16, you're out.
Angsty, yeah.
You're finding, trying to find, like, love, too, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, cause, like, you're 16. Well, I mean, not love, because you're 16. 16-year-olds can't find love. Doesn't exist. It's not real. It's pretend.
If you fake love.
Yeah. So I just wanted out of there. And my auntie Bonnie, said, you know, come live with us. And that's where I moved when I was, well, I just about to turn 16, finished high school there. I actually finished 3 years in two, so yay me. That was good. Yeah.
You're like really smart. Like, you don't think, you don't even give yourself enough credit, but like, you always say like, oh, I'm too dumb for this, and I'm too dumb for that. And like, you got 3 years of school done in 2 years, and then like, even just now in university, like, when you set your mind to something, you not only do it, but you do well at it. Like, you made the dean's list.
Yeah.
Now, how about that?
Look at you. Yeah, I've never gotten, like, a dumb impression from you. Like, you're very well-spoken.
Thanks. I think I call myself dumb because I'm around a lot of people who are super witty and really quick. And, like, for me, that doesn't come fast. I have to, like, sit and think about it. So, like, sometimes Aaron will look at me and be like, what do you think? And I'm like, I don't know. I have nothing to say.
It's just so funny you say that because I feel that way around a lot of other people. But it's like you and I think we're just on the same brainwave, the brain train. Like the whole time we'll look over each other and say something really dumb and we just get it. It's not anything clever. It's just something dumb. but it's funny to us.
So that's why I guess why I say I'm dumb. We're just collectively same. Dumb.
We can be dumb.
You know, sometimes it's fun to not be smart. Like, I just want to not have to think about things.
The weight of the world.
I never think about anything, so that helps.
Camera honey, we know.
Like, who needs thinking? Just be.
Who needs thinking when you have a husband?
Oh, yeah, who needs thinking when we can all just be sea anemones? Spitting out our testicles at our enemies.
Oh my god.
What are those? Look at these!
Oh my god. I think of the path that I kind of want to like go with my questioning is like, you're coming from a small town and that's okay. This is what we do. You come from a small town and it feels like small town living, being gay, could be very isolating. Mm-hmm. What did you, I mean, obviously we're getting there, but like, what did you do to break out of that isolation to be a part of this like great community? Because now you're glowing. Like, you. Mm-hmm. I see you and I'm like, there's a
that's just my moisturizer. No.
Which is great. Tell me what it's all about. But you're glowing. There's something about you that I'm like, that's special.
I'm very pulled towards you. We talk about you since, we've been talking about you since Friday.
Shut.
That's been 4 or 5 days?
No, 4 or 5 weeks. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think that, I think being your genuine self is always going to make you glow. I mean, even if you're an asshole, you're still going to be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, except for Dustin. Dustin, stop being an asshole.
So no. You're always going to glow because you're just like, I'm happy stomping over people's throats.
I can get angry sometimes. No, I think it was just being true to myself. Yeah. Like, after I come out, like, I came screaming out of the closet. I didn't tiptoe around it. Once I was out.
I love that.
And
like,
unapologetically, because there's nothing to be ashamed of.
That's exactly it. There's like really nothing. It's your authentic self. So why do you need to hide it? I mean, I know a lot of places in the world, and coming from my culture, you have to hide it.
Yeah.
But like, if you don't need to, like, just be yourself. You're only gonna show and shine even more, you know?
And what you just said, I guess that shows my privilege too.
In
a sense.
Yeah.
So I was lucky to have the support that I got. Yeah. I had good friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't.
Like, you've always been like 5 steps ahead of a lot of things. Like, you're picking up on things and nuances faster than anybody I've ever known. Like, your journey, watching you, it's like, I don't get this. And then you have this perspective. And then all of a sudden, years later, I'm like, I understand what he's talking about now.
I think I'm very aware of myself.
Yes.
I was one of those people who. Hmm. I know everything about myself, whether or not other people do. Some of it's, like, weird, and that's me. I'm weird, and
meh.
So, Jeremy, you came out at what age, like, to everyone else?
Well, I was, like, on that process from ages 12 through 16, I would say.
And then what led you from that, especially coming from a small town, to getting into drag? Like, how did you get to that point afterwards?
I actually think he touched on it when he spoke in his episode that he... Sorry, we just ate because it is Gay Lunch Podcast. I got the gerps.
The gay burps?
Yeah. Gerps. yeah, Aaron had mentioned that, like, he was one of those people that was like, I don't like drag queens. I don't want to be around drag queens because a lot of drag queens are bitchy. It's just a fact. But I actually had met Satina Loren, and just a sweetheart to such everybody. She's a Disney princess. And so she was the first good experience I had with a drag queen. And then I think, like, a lot of, like, current drag queens got into Drag Race. And Drag Race was like, well, I could do that. And then I wanted to do that. And then you get into drag, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm fabulous. I'm fish. And then you look at pictures from 3 years ago, and you're like, oh, my God. It's like a...
I have them hidden on my Facebook.
Yeah, and so, like, that was my progression. I think that I wanted to... I'm very similar story to Aaron. It's expression. It's art. Like, I like art, and I like performing. Like, I miss performing. I would, like, in school, I liked theater and stuff, and it was a way to do that, because I think as an adult, if you're not a professional actor, it's like, what do you...
Yeah, what are you going to do? What's your outlet?
And even community theater, like, I don't want to be the chorus. I want to be the star of the show.
And always the star.
Well, as long as I've ever known you, you've always been, like, into the performing arts, like, you know, your theater, and, like, even when you were singing...
I was when I was in Regina with another best friend, Annie, we had our own little band, and I'm not linking you to that. we wrote music, and we performed, and we recorded, and it was good. So, like, I think that was, again, a way of doing that. I think drag encompasses so many things, like, as you can be political, you can be a performer, you can be an artist, you can be a comedian, you could be a seamstress, you can, like, so many mm-hmm. things. So if that's something you're interested in and you're part of the queer community, drag is a great way to get into that. And I think that's what that was for me.
Yeah, right.
It's almost like drag is like a mini, like a...
You take
the whole world, you take the whole world, and then you just, like, summarize it down into this small pocket. And so it's, for like, queer people, and then you're able to do the things that you want to do. It's just like it's scaled down, I guess, mm-hmm. is what you say. So, like, you're doing your work as the queer person for your people, and then they get to appreciate it. It's like a family.
Is there anything that Kitty Valentine has helped you discover, or maybe things that you can do more so as Kitty, or you're more confident doing than maybe not in drag, or anything that she's helped you, like, discover about yourself?
So, like I said, I'm a pretty self-aware person, mm-hmm. so I know my personality very well, but I definitely think Kitty's an extension of my personality. Like, I really think that when I'm out of drag, I'm the same person as in drag. I think when I'm in drag, though, I'm just, it's a little more. If I'm at an 8, Kitty's at a 10.
Extra.
Yeah, she's extra. and I think Kitty, for me, too, has, like, always been a way to be just kind of... What were you talking about? I like to be stupid. I like to be dumb. And Kitty's dumb. Like, Kitty's just a goofball.
So it's like, just... Oh, sorry.
Keep no, going. I was going to say, like, I'm a goofball, but then Kitty's, like, extra goofy.
She's, like, your license.
She's a clown.
A goofball.
Yeah, she's the card holder. She's executive silver elite.
Because it's just interesting, like, seeing... Because, like, obviously we know both of you out of drag. And so, like, I would say you're a lot more dialed back than Kitty. So, like, yeah. I agree with that. Whereas, like, I would say... Aaron is a lot more, like, boisterous than Cake.
I can be. It definitely depends on who I'm around.
I think, too, like, you were just a reigning monarch, and you have to have a level of decorum, mm-hmm. because when she's not Empress, she's...
I love that word, decorum.
It's a good word.
Yeah.
Because when Cake is not Empress, when Cake is just Cake, she's also just a dumb bitch.
Like, I'm just as... I can be just as silly, but I think it's... Yeah, like, when you're a reigning monarch, it's... You always have to be aware, like, there are people watching, and you always have to be like, I could go out there and act like a drunk idiot, but, like, is that a conversation I want to have later with people that, like, it matters to? So, now that I'm not, you're gonna see a frickin' mess.
Yes.
You've been warned.
Okay, so we're going, we're paying $5 cover, $200 to see that.
Yeah, see that mess, yeah.
Cake farts.
One woman show.
Sure, it's not. Okay, back to you.
Yeah.
I'm just weird.
Yeah, like...
I'm listening. I'm like...
Well, I guess, like, one thing that, like, drag has taught me is about the charity work the drag queens do, mm-hmm. and the drag community does, because that's something that I don't think anyone really knows, unless you're involved.
Really, though, I had no idea.
You see, until, you know, the performers, yeah. You see Drag Race, and, you know, like, a talented people, and that's what you think drag is, but drag is a lot more. Mm-hmm. So that's what Kitty taught me, is that I could use my talents, or lack of, but I could use that and then help do something with mm-hmm. it, be a voice, if even just show up and represent.
How often do you get to do it in Trenton?
Never.
Oh.
Never.
Yeah, that sucks.
There's, like, I'm close to Kingston, I'm close to Oshawa, I'm close to Ottawa and Toronto, but, like, I don't know people in those places that are going to extend for me to come and do those things. To go and do those things, And I mean, not too, yet. Like, yeah, I mean, it could happen. Yeah. Like, they had Belleville Pride, which is nearby, and they hired queens, and I mean, they could have hired me, but they don't know who I am, so. Yeah. No, unfortunately, I don't do it out there. Just when I come back here.
How often do you get come down here?
Once a year, if I'm lucky.
Oh, no.
Canada's so expensive to travel.
It is, though. It's really is. Up.
It's cheaper for me to fly to Miami than it is for me to fly to Winnipeg.
Out of Toronto, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, like, why would I come to Winnipeg over Miami?
Because I'm here.
True. That's true.
Or you could also go to Miami.
Girl, I'm not. She ain't got no money.
You saw that ball. I have no money.
So what took you out to Trenton?
My partner, Justin, who was also Serendi LaDasha from Winnipeg, is in the military. And in the military, you don't really have a lot of choice where you live. They kind of choose for you. And they...
Which is super annoying for me.
Yeah. They asked him to take a position in Trenton, and off we went.
That's so cute, though. A military gay couple.
Yeah.
Any pressure?
He's pretty, he's like me in that he's pretty unapologetically out, but he has had discussions with people about how it could affect his career, which I think is very wrong.
I mean.
Because he's very good at his job.
Right.
Like.
He's so good at it. He's, and so smart.
And a go-getter. He works very hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's not lazy.
That's one thing I've always said about Serenity is that, like, when you cannot tell him that he can't do something because then he'll go and prove you wrong.
And maybe that maybe people telling him he can't do it is a good thing because maybe get to push him farther.
Yeah,
but
such a hard work. I could gush about Serenity for hours. Just
We could just do a whole episode just us talking about.
We love you, Serenity.
Yeah, but like he definitely he's well liked at work. Like he's popular, I guess. Like but that's just his personality. He's just a likable person, very friendly.
That's nice.
Nothing but good things to say about my partner. So.
I
mean,
I love when Serenity comes out and gets drunk because she'll cut you down.
Because then it's something.
She'll cut you down to size. No issues. No ifs, ands, or buts.
I was wondering about
she had shit all over these walls.
It just hit her. She's not raining anymore. Yeah, and she just threw a fucking fit.
I just needed the attention.
Oh, okay. What were we talking about?
You were just about to say gay something about gay military.
Gay military in Canada. Not as, like, he's doing it. He's doing good at his job. Not too much backlash.
No.
No.
Well, our Don't Ask, Don't Tell was abolished a lot longer ago than the U.S. did theirs.
If anyone from the military is listening, you still have a ways to go when it comes with trans rights.
Mm.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, like, the environment between U.S. military and Canadian military very being different. Gay is so different.
Just like our countries are very different.
Oh, my God, they're so freaking different.
I mean, Trudeau and Trump.
But even, like, Trudeau. I don't want to.
We won't get into that. We're not getting into that. But they actually, I know a lot of gay people from the military.
Yeah.
And some trans people from the military, and it's kind of cool. Like, we have good friends who live in the city here who are gay and both in the military. Mm-hmm. And even in Trenton, we've met some, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely, it's a viable job source for anybody.
But imagine, like, all the guys who are like, cool. You, like...
I just find it so funny how extravagant it is, like, oh, gays in the military. It's so, like, it's not normalized yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's so not normalized yet. But like, ooh, gays in the military. Oh, that's so unusual. That's so fantastical.
Well, for me, in my head, what I see is just a big boys' club.
It's a stereotypically masculine job. Right. And I think even as gay people, we're looking at
can only imagine what it's like for women.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, women in the military and gay men in the military.
Well, they actually, I'm going to, like, give you all the military info I have. They have a new code in the military called Op Honor, Operation Honor. And it's essentially there to protect everybody, but I think it was really there to protect women in the military. Mm-hmm. Because they can be very heavily discriminated against. And like you said, a boys' club, there's probably a lot of ignorant things that happened. And now if those ignorant things happen, it gets shut right down. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. So like that's another thing. Women in the military, like they have a place there as well.
Yeah, that's a step up. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone's got a place there. I mean, it's a job.
Yeah.
It's a job. It is a good job. So, I mean, if anyone's looking.
You're recruiting. You get paid to help recruit. Yeah. My God.
Link to the Canadian
Armed Forces. No.
Oh my God, wait. Is that our version of making drag names out of normal things? We just pretend we're going to put links?
Put links, yeah.
Please welcome to the stage. Put links.
Fuck. Right off.
Put links monsoon.
Put links monsoon. Put sausage links. There's at least once a month.
Sausage links.
Links monsoon.
Well, that's a good drag
links
name.
Links monsoon.
That one was bad.
Shut up.
What else do I want to ask? What do we want to know? Tell us something.
We can also backtrack. I feel like I've cut you off several times.
Yeah.
Here.
No, it's okay. I mean, like, I think I've...
I love Kitty. Kitty is cute. Kitty is bouncy, is blonde. Always blonde? I don't know.
No, back and forth. I'll just switch it up.
Yeah. Because when I saw Kitty, she's like, hey, I'm Kitty. Meow.
Meow.
Is that what I said?
No, you didn't say that.
Oh, you did meow at us in the Forgeri suite, though, at one point.
Excuse me, in the Forgeri suite, I was no longer, like, in my own body.
Do you remember the joke that you told
no,
on
No, I
our
was
Instagram?
Really drunk.
It was Gay Lunch Podcast. It was on their Instagram story.
Oh, my God. Did I tell my Jehovah's Witness joke?
Yeah,
Jehovah's Witness.
Do you want to tell it right now? Because it's
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. So I was sitting on my deck, and I don't know why the hell I thought of this, because no Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on my door, but I was just sitting there myself, and I'm like, where do Jehovah's Witnesses work out? Jehovah's Fitness. I'm so funny.
Can you imagine the one day someone does knock on your door?
Is this Jehovah's Fitness?
Like, how much is your membership?
Oh, $10 a month.
And your soul.
Yeah. Oh, we're not getting there. We're not going there.
This is a dangerous topic.
Yeah. Well, we'll just crawl on back to our dark holes.
Whose dark hole?
My dark hole.
You took us to church and we're getting out of it.
Yeah, took us to church.
Not interested.
And after 5 minutes, we're like, let's go.
Yeah. We're like, Mackenzie fell asleep.
Yeah. I started snoring.
You're not supposed to drink all the communion wine, Mackenzie.
I'm like, do you have any of those?
For everybody.
Do you have any of those crackers? Got any hummus?
Oh. Those crackers. Oh.
Oh, my goddess.
Oh, my god. Oh, my goddess. Yeah.
How dare you? You be the first one to say that on this podcast.
Yeah.
I say that all the time, and then
That's her joke. That's her thing.
Is it really? You say that all the time.
Oh my god!
I think that's where I got it from then, because I heard it somewhere recently, and I'm like, nah, that's all I say now. It's oh my goddess.
I think on Facebook.
I always say it on Facebook, and I'm like, I bet you they think I'm trying to spell goodness, and I'm like, no.
Autocorrect.
Oh god, autocorrect is horrible. I was telling you
it's so ducking stupid.
Fuck off. I was trying to text someone. I told you this. I told you guys this, but you were drunk, so it didn't go through. But I was trying to like text someone. Someone was asking me about music, and I was like, I went to write I love disco, but it corrected to I love dick. And I'm like, no.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know me?
Your phone thinks you're a gay man with all your violet tchotchke.
Honestly.
Yeah.
All your violet tchotchkes around the room.
But also my old phone background used to be a young Stevie Nicks, so.
Oh, yeah, that's a lesbian phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no, the home, so right now the lock screen is violet, the home screen is us at the gala, but before that the home screen was Stevie Nicks and the lock screen was Kate McKinnon.
Your phone's a dyke.
My phone's confused. My phone's very confused.
Oh my god, oh my god. Okay, so let's see. Is there anything we want to talk about? We have some
How's
time.
Your head?
It hurts.
Yeah, you've had a long weekend, let's just say.
Yeah, it's been a busy weekend living on.
Was it just like a flash to you?
Yeah, Friday was.
Yeah.
No, it's been really good. I mean, for people who don't know, I guess this is probably going to come out a little later.
Yeah.
I was in Winnipeg for Aaron's step down for his coronation. And I got in on Wednesday, and I'm going to be out on Wednesday, so it's a quick trip. Yeah. It went by pretty quick.
Yeah.
It always does.
I love your relationship. Like, mm-hmm. you're, like, best friends.
Get off your phone.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
I love your relationship. What did it mean to you to watch the step down, to come up in the step down, to watch that journey?
I mean, I came for him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, it was something I wasn't going to miss. That's huge. It was something we talked about. But, I mean, he, like, very you much made me feel included the whole time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I felt like it was also about me.
I was like, she's performing at the out-of-town show. She's performing at the ball. She's sitting with me on the dais. We're in a room together. She's my, like, I was like, yeah, I was just like, everywhere I go, you're coming with.
Yeah. And I did. I followed. I did. I was supposed to be her, like, get dressed helper. I don't think I helped you once.
I was surprisingly self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. People were actually, like, commenting on me, saying, like, wow, girl, you were, like, so calm that whole weekend. I don't know how you, like, I've seen other empresses step down, and they are, like, a mess. And you were just like, all right, that dress. Okay, I'm going to put on that hair. Oh, what jewelry should I wear for this set?
It's true.
And I was just like, I was just having fun. And then I was still the first one back at the ballroom. And I was like, hey, we're ready to go. Let's go. Where is everybody?
Yeah.
I was expecting to be the last one. Mm-hmm. But no, I was like, I was proud of me.
Yeah, you're on time a lot. And in the room mingling while everyone else was just, like, running around.
Yeah, like they had a chicken with their head cut off.
Yeah. What were some of the things, because I love your friendship, I love your dynamic. What were some of the first things that you saw in Cake and Cake to Kitty that you're like, oh my God, that bitch?
Also, I'm just going to comment, the one thing I don't like about this being a podcast is Aaron's face anytime Jeremy says anything about him is just, like, the hammiest smile and look. It's really like priceless.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, go. Had to add that in.
Like, what about each other?
Some, like first impressions was the first joke. Like, oh my God, that fucking bitch.
Drag-wise?
Like,
or, like,
no, either. Just, like, together. Beginnings. Like, how did you know that would...
When we were just two slips of a girly boy.
I think in the very beginning, we just... I don't know. I think we just, like, accepted that we're both goofballs.
There was just... I can't describe us meeting other than the fact, like, it was one of those things where it's like, this is someone that I'm supposed to know, and I'm supposed to, like, this person is, like, is in my life for a reason now. Like, you know, like, that that cliche, you have friends for a reason, a season, and a lifetime, and I'm like, I think in the moment we met each other, we knew this was a lifetime.
Yeah, and I think you guys probably had those moments with people, maybe even together, that you meet someone, and it's like, you just, a sponge to water.
We just got
Like, the two halves of the circle just fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was never in, like, it was never in a romantic way. It was always just, like,
No, and I don't think, like, soulmates have to be romantic. I think you have multiple soulmates. Yeah. So, like, people come into your life for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was never... And it actually...
Oh, my God. That was in my step-down song to her.
Aww.
Or your step-down.
Oh, for good?
Yeah. People come into each other's life for a reason. It's true.
Exactly. And, there's been a lot of... I've had many a conversation with people. I don't know if you have, but... Where people are like, are you two, like, dating? Or are you guys, like, together? And we're like, no, we're just literally, like...
Best friends.
We're just literally, like, yeah.
Life partners.
Sexually, we live on, like, different planes of existence. It was never...
Yeah, like, it's Barbie bodies underneath all these clothes.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. The way I can't describe it, it's, like, the most platonic... And here's the best way I describe our friendship is our friendship is so perfect because... We have this unconditional love for each other, but it's not complicated by sex or money.
Right, yeah, there you go.
So there's literally no hang-ups that we're actually just able to be best friends.
Yeah. Because, like, when I met Mackenzie, one of the first few things that I was like, oh my God, I fucking love that bitch. She was just like, it was like a chocolate bar or something that I've never touched before. And then she's all like, you know, Cam, try new things, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, that's true. What a good little perspective you got in this face.
And I literally, like, I'd never even thought twice about that until, like, months later. He was like, yeah, the first time was when you said that to me. I was like, what? Like
it has nothing to do with anything.
Eat the chocolate. Like,
it really resounded with you.
Yeah.
And it was something so inconsequential.
Yeah, I was like, bye.
Yeah.
Like, I think I said it and walked, like, literally walked away after. It was, like, in the back office of work. And you probably sat there, like, yeah.
Yeah, try new things. You know, do a podcast.
It was, like, life changing.
Yeah, for me.
And
I
for
needed
me,
that message,
like,
at that time.
And then me, I'm walking away, I'm like, that dumb bitch, like, just eat the food. Like,
you stupid whore, just eat the fucking piece of cake. Eat it.
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
Yeah, I don't know, like, And I think it's interesting, I think that our friendship has turned heads in many social circles because I think a lot of people don't have friendships like that, mm-hmm. close, meaningful friendships. Like
so open friendships. So open. Too.
Mm-hmm. And they're just like, what's this about? I think that's why they're so confused, like asking if we're like romantic. Because they don't have someone like that.
We essentially introduce each other like partners, though. Like, yeah. Have you met Kitty Valentine? Have you met Cake? And it's like, people are like, are you your spouse? Like,
yeah. And it's like, no, just literally, I love this person more than most people. I was like, no, this is just my favorite person.
Mm-hmm. This one's mine.
Yeah, like, actually, that's a good way, like, you're my person. Like, you know, like that whole Grey's Anatomy bullshit?
Yeah.
Yeah, ugh. I'm the Sandra Oh.
No, fuck you. You're Meredith. She gets fucked up on tequila all the time. I'm Sandra because I walk around like, you know you're an idiot, right? But I love you regardless. Because if it wasn't you doing this, I'd be doing it.
So, back to coming out now, because now that I know a little bit more of the dynamic.
Back to Kitty, please.
Back to Kitty. So, how were you instrumental in each other's coming out? Or were you out, like, how did that...
I think I may have been a little bit in yours.
You were definitely more... influential in mine, I think.
Because I was...
Yeah, the door was open. You were just about to walk out of it when I met you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was just putting on my dress.
You had to get your face on.
Yeah, yeah.
She was just, you know, putting on her accessories.
Yeah, my successories.
Ooh, that's a big one. Okay. Yeah, so I love watching your dynamic.
Yeah.
And I love the way that you guys work, and I think it's so nice. But what I want to know is, how influential were you each other on each other coming out?
Well, I think like it was you were more influential in my coming out, that's for sure, because like you were already on your way out the door.
Yeah, I was just putting my dress on.
And you were definitely more of an inspiration to me, I would say, just because you actually introduced me to my very first longtime partner. Mm-hmm. And then so I was seeing him, and then it was that, and I wanted to come out as sort of respect to that person. You know, I didn't feel right being in a relationship and hiding it. Mm-hmm. So I felt it necessary to come out. So that's when I really, that's what really like got the wheels turning and going. And that's what really motivated me to do that and be open and honest about myself. So in a way, and you were always just someone who was there for support.
Yeah, I absolutely supported you. I'm obviously, as a gay person, I'm not going to, you come out to me, I'm just like, oh, that's disgusting.
Well, my sexuality is very, like, has been an evolving process.
Open to interpretation.
Yeah, like, open to interpretation, yeah. Like, I've never really, it's one of those things where I talk about my honest feelings at the time. I have a lot more vocabulary where I can describe it now, but so I was like, I want to do this. Like, all I know is like, I want to be with this person, and this is the way I feel inside, and mm-hmm. everything like that. So yeah, you were always just a very, very big support and inspiration for me to live my authentic self.
Oh, you're so kind.
Mm-hmm. And how important do you guys think it is for people to have that kind of relationship with someone else the same way that you guys do?
Doing,
to have someone there and...
Doing this alone, it's hard for anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think going all the way back to leaving Esterhazy, I felt alone.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think I was. I think I had a lot of friends who did support me, but
the feelings
feel alone. Yeah. And I think it would have been the same for you. I think it was nice at the time having a partner and a good friend.
Even before the partner, I think it was like having someone like you, having a friend who just openly accepts you and gets you for the way you are and that you can just be open and honest with. It's one of the best things that you can have in your life. It's the most valuable support. And like, I know that I wasn't very influential in your coming out story, but I think there was I would think that there was a lot of things that you went through personally that I was able to help you through.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, it's like, no, no.
Like, nope, I'm the queen.
Like, you literally like fed and clothed me at times, so.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah.
I guess it was between a move.
Not even, no. When I first moved to Winnipeg, I had a very hard time finding decent work.
Really?
Well, it is. It's hard to find entry-level positions that are going to pay you well enough to live. And I burned through the money I'd saved pretty fast because it's expensive to live anywhere. And I think I definitely, like, was dealing with depression when I had been here. And, yeah, like, he worked full-time, and he would cover rent, and he would make sure I had food to eat, and...
Look at
never
Cake.
Really judged me, like never told me you need to get it figured out or I'm gonna kick you out or anything. Like always encouraged me to.
Oh, because at that point it was like it was just money. It was just money.
It's just money. Yeah.
And I, that's the sort of thing. Like money between us has never been a thing. Like it's never been a problem. I was like, I always knew. It's and that trust. Like, because he paid me back. He paid me back the minute my money came in.
And you didn't so keep it. You never kept a tab on me either.
No. Well, like I mean, I was just like, I can give you a rough idea of what you owe, and then you were like, Kate, I'll get you. And I think it was also like, because we had had a falling out. There was a time when you and I had a falling out.
We had
out.
An explosive falling
an
out,
explosive
actually.
Falling out, and it was pretty dramatic. But it was
I think
one
we're
of those...
comfortable talking about that, too, if you guys want to ask about that after, because it's kind of an interesting story.
Yeah, I'm interested. Yeah, I'm intrigued.
But continue on your thought.
Yeah.
Well, it was the thought was, like, when... Like the when I was like in words supporting you, like because I was trying to help you get established here. It was like this. I knew that you being established somewhere because you kept having that transient sort of. You would move away from home and you would try and get established, but then it just wouldn't work. And then you would move like you would try it multiple times, and I was just like, no, I'm gonna be the one that sees you through this. Like I'm, like the, I'm gonna I if. Things like things fell apart in other places, but I was definitely motivated to be.
What is that motivation? Because I see that in my mom a lot, where she would take like a lot of my cousins and that who are just in between phases. She's like, you need to settle down somehow, some way, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to clothe, I bathe, feed you, and like for me, what I think is that it's like something that she sees in them that there's a potential that she knows that they're capable of, and
oh, absolutely,
and she's able to like extract that from them.
Well, I would say that's exactly it. There's just this potential you see in a person, and you know, like it's you know that person. You know there's something ready to blossom inside that person, and they just need that leg up. And it was like I can do this, no problem. And in fact, but it was also like a little bit selfish in a way because having Jeremy there for me at that point in my life was very important to me because I needed it was
right
when I was it was different than coming out it was when I was coming out I had him to support me but then at that point I was going through a very very traumatic time in my personal life and I needed him there for me so it was like I will gladly give you as much money as you need as long as you won't leave and so it was just, it was one of those symbiotic arrangements where I was able to keep my best friend around for me for emotional support, and then I was able to repay that kindness with, like, help.
Yeah.
And
you were like a salmon, and I was one of those parasites that eat your tongue like, and live in your mouth and eat your food.
But I was like...
But the salmon just liked the company.
And the salmon was just like, let's go shopping. Let's go up this waterfall. No, but our falling out beforehand, I think the reason it worked this time, getting you here, worked is because before we had lived together, and it was a very explosive falling out that time, just because new relationship for me, no relationship for him. You were trying to figure, you were doing a lot of projects, and you were trying to do some stuff. Then there were some money issues. I feel like this is better from your perspective.
I had a very long transient stage before I settled anywhere and figured my life out. And I think I was just, I'm one of those people that I've never really been, I don't know, I guess I'm not really sometimes I'm not a hard worker. So working in a place like Walmart where I didn't feel like it was going to go anywhere for me. So like I would drag my ass at work and I ended up losing my job at Walmart when we lived together. So again, he wasn't really supporting me then. I was getting money from my parents. My parents were helping me, but like I was always around and needy friend and then brand new relationship. And there was kind of a struggle there.
Yeah.
Those two that didn't get along for a while.
Yeah. And a little bit of play on ego, I'm sure.
There was a bit of jealousy. A jealousy between where my attention was being split.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So during the falling out, how many years, months or... Like, was there a length of time where you didn't speak to each other?
Well, we should probably just tell the story, I guess. Like, they had told me that I was to move out, not in a bad way, I didn't take it wrong, and that people were moving in. And I had just kind of gone away to visit family for close to a month, and then came back, and, like, things were good again. We were getting along really well. But I think they had already made arrangements for these people to move in. But I guess in my head, I was thinking, like,
you're back
in. I'm back. We're good. We're good. Yeah. Nothing's happening. And they told me they were moving in, you know. And he said, oh, take as much time as you need to find a place. You can, you know, sleep in the living room. We'll do a little setup for you, blah, blah, blah. And it was then, at this point, five people in a two-bedroom.
A small
two-bedroom. It was not very big. Right. And the other people that came in, I don't even feel bad about this.
Because one of them was batshit.
A crazy bitch. A psycho. Yeah.
She was unhealthy, and, she was just vindictive. She sought out and did wicked things to people.
Right.
So I had been out with friends. And again, in my head, I'm like, this was my place. I lived there. So I brought these friends back to the apartment. And we were kind of sitting around. And I guess we were being loud, and it woke them up. And I was in my underwear. They're in a vulnerable situation. Mm-hmm. And she started it with me and actually ended up pushing me, got physical. And it became a yelling match. And the yelling match got them involved. And I actually ended up getting kicked out
that night
at, 2 a.m.,
yeah,
all my stuff pushed out. It was really big. I think even the police got called. I was gone before they got there, but.
The police were called now that I recall, and they definitely picked a fight with you.
It was a domestic dispute again, in a sense. Yeah.
I remember that night being incredibly confusing for me emotionally because I had.
Well, you were conflicted.
I was so conflicted. Between so many parties, because one of the people in the couple that moved in, she was a very, very close friend of mine. And I think in her perspective, I think there was a bit of animosity towards you because she saw you as taking advantage, which necessarily wasn't the case. That's just her perspective on the situation.
Understandable. And I may have very well been at times.
But it's just I didn't... I think I may have, said some things out of frustration that may have been communicated to her that she should have stepped in. But then it was her partner who...
instigated the situation.
Who was not afraid to exert her power to, to basically oppress Jeremy and push him out. And he was pushed out, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should stop it or if I should let it happen because I was in such a... stressful emotional state. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what the right thing to do was, mm-hmm. and I had to make a choice. And
I was being very attacked too because he was having a conflict in his own, so he wasn't really saying much. But I had three other people kind of attacking me, and I'm not one to hold back my tongue when someone comes for me. I lashed out. It was a 3-on-1, and I think I probably said some nasty things to him as well.
Yeah. So things were said. Feelings
it was
hurt.
Just, it was such a, it was a ridiculous, I think I had been drinking that night too. Yeah. Yes. Alcohol involved
which is
in
not,
this. It was
make
just,
anything better.
It was an explosion.
So he was pushed out of the apartment. I lost half my friends, because he had, they were a lot of my high school friends, but when Jeremy came into the picture, I sort of introduced him, and then they all welcomed him with open arms, and he had his own dynamic with them too. He very much became a part of the group. But the group became very split down the center. Yeah. I tried to reach out to some people, and a lot of them had nothing but callous things to say to me. And I had a friend who presented herself as someone who never took sides. And then she said, I think her exact words to me was I'm not interested in speaking to you until you learn how to show some compassion, until you stop being such a compassionless C word.
I mean, so I look at Mackenzie, I'm like, I never said anything like that.
It was very big. I think you had asked how long.
Yeah, what was the length of time?
It was less than six months.
No, it was a year.
No, it wasn't. It was a full year before we got really reconnected. But I think it was after a few months you and I started speaking on MSN again. I remember being a good 6 month period.
I mean, when you're separated from somebody you really care about, mm-hmm. 6 months feels 10 years. Forever. So,
yeah. I think it was around 6 months, but then you reached out to me, and I said, and we just sort of started talking, hey, I'm really sorry about everything, and then we just started slow. It was casual chit chat,
Did you have to have a hard conversation?
I don't know if we had to. It's kind of a blur, but I know when you moved back into the city, because you had gone to Esterhazy, back to Esterhazy for a time, you had moved back in with another friend of ours.
Who acted as a buffer for us. Yeah. A mutual friend.
Mm-hmm. And then we sort of reconnected again, and then I remember that I came over to visit you one time with...
Your partner at the time.
Yeah, my partner at the time, and it was kind of like...
It was good, but it was a little uncomfortable.
It was a little touch and go, but for some reason it was like... I feel like we're getting back to that place. I felt like there was like, this was, we were back on our way back.
Yeah.
And I felt it was something like we missed each other. We definitely missed each other.
Absolutely. And well, it's meant to be, but yeah. I also think that was meant to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
I would say like, oh, there were some things I regret, but to say that I regret it, we would not have the friendship we have today because that blow up needed to happen.
I think that's made us way more honest with each other mm-hmm. about everything. Like, if he's doing something that annoys me, I'm going
to
tell him.
And yeah, yeah. You're able to, like, go through some fractured times.
It's not going to be 3 months of, like, something building and yeah. then something. It's yeah. like, no, if you're doing something that bothers me, it's, like, straight up, like, this. Let's talk about it.
And now you're really drag sisters.
From that falling out, there are still a lot of friendships that I had that have remained fractured. I have not reconnected with some of those people ever again.
And I mean, this does sound bad, but like, if they were going to act that way.
Some of them definitely I needed to say goodbye to.
Yeah.
But sometimes in life, you have to just, you know,
cut
some ties. And
there are some people that we have reconnected, and it's more of like we've put that behind us. I think I was more offended with some of them because I felt like it was none of their goddamn business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What quarrel Jeremy and I were having, because then we were back being best friends again.
I like that you almost said back together.
We're back together again. No, we were back being best friends, and some of them were still acting like... And I was just like,
that you
know,
were a villain.
I was like they were still acting really petty about it, and I'm just thinking to myself, like... That's kind of between us.
That's kind of like the thing between like if I know a couple that are fighting, they come to me for advice. I'm like, I don't really know what to offer you because I'm not in that. And if I did and I said something against something, it's gonna come back to me. So I'd kind of like
again,
just fall in love, like be in love again. Yeah. You know,
I'm gonna take blame though because like I wrote a scathing review on them on Facebook, and I think that's
I remember that. Oh,
so I had deleted. Yes. I had deleted him. His partner, and one of the two in the couple.
We got Facebook
but
course.
I forgot the other one.
Oh.
I forgot the crazy one. I just forgot I was Facebook. I was never friends with her, but I was Facebook friends with
her.
Right. And so that's the one. That's who I forgot, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and so.
You're in your face right now? Like, you, hold on.
Where's the shade fan?
I remember.
Yeah, so and I had wrote just kind of like, you remember Facebook notes?
Right, right.
Do you remember them? Where everyone did their, like, surveys?
Yeah.
So, I just wrote a big fucking thing, and I went on the... Again, I was so angry, so confused, I went on the attack, which is so... Since then, the people that I attacked, we have since then rebuilt that bridge. We're good. Like,
yeah.
I apologize
yeah.
for that. It was just a lash out. But that person, the one that I didn't delete on Facebook, saw it all and saw the comments, and I think that's where a lot of the people that he had been friends with, he saw their true colors because they were being really nasty as well.
Yeah.
And it was just funny because it was just like, I just looked at them and was like, this is interesting how quickly they've turned and how like, yeah, it was like definitely a true colors moment. And I was really shocked by a lot of them. And at the time they were also sort of attacking someone that I was that meant a lot to me. So like, I was not only offended for myself, but I was also offended for my partner at the time.
I was mean. Like I was mean. I was 19, I think, and
that way you were so young. I was so long ago.
You're like you're dumb at 19.
But anyway, I think point being from this long story that we've
yeah,
told
yeah, everyone that, knows our drama.
that was the big blow up between Kitty and Cake, before Kitty and Cake came about, and then it was like it needed to happen because you needed to go your own way and I needed to go my own way. We needed that space to figure out ourselves a little bit so mm-hmm. that we could come back and we could be better friends than we were before. And I think that there's a lot of friendships out there that if you have not had a giant skirmish or a blowout with them...
Just go start drama. Like just punch your friend in the face.
If you're like, hey, I like this person. I want to be their best friend. You need to start a fight.
You need to know...
Steal their purse.
Yeah.
Blame it on their mom.
You need to go through those pockets of like bad moments just so you know how each other reacts so then can build from it.
Yeah. Well, you need to know if you're gonna be able to get over those things.
Yeah.
And also to know like where like how much that person means to you. Like if you're in a fight and that person's like, I don't wanna talk to you, and if you can go one of two ways, be like, yeah, bye bitch, like fuck fine. Or you're like, oh my god, this needs to fix itself. You know how much you mean to that person, and you know how much you mean to each other if you actually go all those steps to fix it, because that's not something easy to do mentally or emotionally. So it's like, if you're willing to do those steps, it shows how much you really do mean to each other and can bring you closer. If you don't want to do it, then you know that that doesn't fucking matter and was meant to leave.
I do think that, but I also think both of us are very forgiving people, and not a lot of people would have got over that.
Yeah.
But like, we've been scorned by a lot of people, I think, in our past, and we are both very forgiving. There's just three people I won't forgive. Three people in my life that have crossed that line and they cannot come back.
I think I remember who all of them are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Get the checklist ready.
And I was like, wait, I should know these. I should know this information. You do. Yeah. I'm sure he'll rattle them off later. Like, oh, girl. Yeah. but then fast forward to like then when you finally moved to Winnipeg, and that's really when you blossomed, and I was so happy to see it. Like, that's when your life really took off.
Yeah. I found myself, I think, more. Like, again, knew myself, but I think when you come and, like, establish yourself, you're like, whoa, look at this world that's here for me. Like,
it's a process of growing up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like for you, like, finally? Like, I don't know. Like, what was it? When you finally, like, got to Winnipeg and then things started, like, going, everything just started turning up, Jeremy. Like, what was that like for you?
I'll turn it up, Jeremy. No, It was cool. Like,
it was cool.
It was cool.
It was a party.
I'm not explaining it. Like, I think it is really good to get to be myself around people who wanted me to be myself.
Who wanted you to be you. Yeah. And it's sort of every time I hear you guys talk about these things, and you, when you break apart and you get back together, it's the relationship you're trying to mend isn't just for you, the ego. It's for the other person as well. And once you recognize that you're both symbiotic and you meld off each other, then it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. So when people recognize you for who you are and you recognize for who you are, it's built beauty, right? Like,
yeah. I think the reason our friendship is so strong is because we have that scar tissue.
Yep.
Beautiful scars.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a song. Okay. Well, anything else we want to talk about or add or...
Sorry to, like, leave it on a dark note.
Dark note.
Jeez. No, but they love each other now, so it's fine.
Yeah, they love each other. They came back, you know? Like,
you moved forward. You found drag. You found love.
I honestly thought you were going to say Jesus, and I was like, oh.
I found Jesus. He was in the drawer next to my car keys.
talk about your dogs.
I am a proud owner of two beautiful children. I have a Chihuahua named Luca and a Pomeranian Papillon mix named Matcha.
Pictures. We'll make links.
Oh, yeah. We'll link you to my Instagram.
Yeah.
No, they're just fucking cute as fuck. Like, oh, they're fucking cute.
Well, thanks so much, guys. We've gotten through so much.
Yeah.
A good little friendship episode, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you can title this one Friendship and Drag.
Friendship and Drag.
The Kitty Valentine
All
Experience.
Aboard the friendship.
Oh my god, that's so it's much
transcontinental
fun.
Flight to love.
Well, thanks so much, Kitty. Thanks for visiting.
You're welcome.
Thanks
for coming down and recording with us.
With my rain cloud.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
You guys are so much fun.
Oh
shut.
Shut the curtain. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
And you know what? Call up your best friend after this. You know what I mean? Tell them how much you love them.
Tell them how much you hate them. Start some drama.
Yeah.
Wait, we didn't do what's up, what's going on, Mackenzie.
That's fine. We've been an hour from
then
that.
Then you can do, thank you for being a friend.
Yeah, we'll close it up with that.
It's not hot. My life is really depressing right now.
Let's not talk about it. All right. Thank you so much, guys.
Cut out that last part about my life being depressing.